Happy New Year! If you're listening to this in the new year, it's possible you're listening to this at the end of 2019 because that's when I'm recording it and it may get released in the next few hours. If not, it's Happy New Year and welcome to 2020. And this is a brief little recap of the last decade or so and also a look to the future for a few New Year's resolutions as to what we're doing, what I'm doing, and what hopefully you will be doing in the new year. So, let's first look forward. I think I'm going to look forward before I look back. This is a little rambly. I'm not going to be editing this. I'm just going to throw this out into the ether. So, what are we releasing for you in the new year? Within days, in fact. You may have noticed the podcast has been a little quiet over Christmas. That's just because it's Christmas, and we just released some big full-cast audio adaptations that I wanted to... They just sit there at the end of the podcast feed for you to soak up and listen to. So coming up, we have got the spoilers for The Tragedy of Mariam by Elizabeth Carey. Really looking forward to finishing those off, getting them out to the patrons and then out on the podcast. Also coming up, we have the initial edit and exploring sessions for The Tragedy of Antony, translated by Mary Sidney from the play by Robert Garnier. Both of those plays coming out relatively close to each other's, really interesting. It's really running compare and contrast things in my head at the moment because they are both very different plays and also get connected in interesting ways. I'm a big fan of both Tragedy of Mariam and Antony. I can understand why anyone looking at the play, The Tragedy of Antony, would look at it and go, because it looks like it's just lots of big blocky speeches. But it's a much more interesting and much more dynamic play than at first it appears, as it were. Around that, there's a lot of exploring sessions for other plays that are coming out that have been in the backlog for a while. We're starting on a new mystery cycle. We have officially finished our exploring sessions on Chester, the Chester mystery cycle. We're now catching up with the End Town sequence. So that's coming out to patrons, and the first of those will be coming out on the podcast in the next few weeks. For those who've been missing What's Past is Prologue, all the prologues that the wonderful Sarah Golding's been doing. We have got some of those in the bank that are coming out soon. There's more to come, he said, touching wood. And there are more epilogues. We've only released two so far, but there's actually loads of epilogues. Loads of epilogues released, recorded by the wonderful Fiona Thrale. And they're in the edit as well. They take a little longer for me to process, because I need to talk about, to some degree, what happened in the play before the epilogue, which is less of a priority with prologues. So it's a bit more of a logistical issue why those have taken a little longer to turn up. So those shorts are coming into the mix as well. And then further into the year, we are going to be looking at the absolutely brilliant play Res Publica. I didn't know how fabulous. I just never clicked how great it was. So that started recording. We still have quite a lot to get in the can for that, but I should start recording over the next few months and hopefully get in the edit very soon. And also a few upgraded exploring sessions are getting full cast productions. The Mundus et Infants, or The World and the Child, as it has now officially been voted as the preferred title by the people of Twitter. That's a good 50%, if not 60-70% recorded, I think, now. There's still a few takes to come in, and the edit for that's going to be quite fun. I'm looking forward to editing that, and there'll be a couple of spoilers episodes for that, I think, as well. I think I'll talk a little bit about that. But you can look at The World and the Child, Amanda Set Infants. There's an exploring session that's quite good, talking about the play and some of its contradictions, which we'll come into later. The Nice Wanton, that's probably going to take a little longer to finish. Done a few test recordings for that. And a little additional bonus version of The Prodigal Son, which we've done an exploring session on the past as well. That's a fragment, and I don't quite know how the final version of that's going to turn up. And then much further down the line, we've got His Pity, She's a Whore by John Ford, which is taking a lot longer to come together, and that may get bumped further into the schedules into the future. And then hopefully by the end of next year, or this year, depending when you're listening, we've got The Old Wives' Tale. So they're all the big marquee stuff that's already decided and there, and I hopefully haven't missed anything out. We are also starting on an awful lot of recordings of exploring sessions that have been chosen by our patrons. And of course, if you're not a patron, here is a marvellous moment to suggest why you should become one. Because at least twice a year, you get to vote for the plays we do next. It starts off if you're only giving $1, and I say only, it is a fantastically massive amount to give, and it makes a huge difference to us if you do give it. If you give that, then you get to vote for the exploring plays that we sit down and read through in various different ways, and if you even if you only give it $1, that's your starting bonus for that. The further up, the more you give, the more of a shortcut you get to getting material scenes and full plays going almost leapfrogging into production. The more you give, the slightly more of a voice you get, but even if you only give $1, you get a voice and a way of shaping what we do, because increasingly I'm no longer choosing the material. I'm more sifting through what's been voted and trying to find the logistical way of making it happen. So two of the exploring sessions we are recording, hopefully in January, February, are going to be the plays A Game at Chess, which I'm going to talk about a little later on in this recording, and James the Fourth, and we also have four other plays, Dido, Queen of Carthage, that we're going to be reading through, and that once we've done those exploring sessions, that makes it easier for us to then upgrade to a full production, and that's, I say, where we're going. Upgrading from our initial exploring sessions into full cast, and then further down the line, doing live shows. So that's also what's happening next year. This year is The Life and Death of Jack Straw, which is now complete, is being produced by Key Productions. A community production is going to be happening in October, in October 2020. And if you live in Suffolk, in East Anglia, in the UK, there will be open auditions for a community cast in April. We are looking to have young actors playing Richard II and Nobbs, and possibly other characters as well. And if you're adults, then there are all the other parts as well. And that's going to be part of an evening which is covering the Peasants' Revolt more generally. And so there'll be a first half will be The Life and Death of Jack Straw. And the second half will be a new play covering the revolt in East Anglia. And that's really exciting. And we'll be there all the way, trying to archive as much of that production as possible. So that not only will there be an audio version that you've got, and the spoilers for that, and lots of discussion episodes actually coming up. I must apologise to everyone who's recorded discussion episodes with us in the last 6 months to a year. The apologies for them not coming out very quickly, and it is almost exactly a year since one of our Jack Straw episodes was recorded. Sorry. But that's coming out very, very soon. So those are all the sort of positive things. So I'm calling this New Year's resolution because I want to look at what we can do, and when I say we, I mean all of us, to help expand the audience for early drama that's not by the big, shiny, baldy playwright man. And there's lots of ways. I mean, one is, being self-serving again, is to like, share, subscribe, and pass on this podcast, obviously. But the other thing is, I know a lot of my listeners are actively involved doing readings, read-throughs, small-scale performances of what we might say of obscure plays, unfairly obscure plays. And obviously, if you're actively involved in doing that, one of the things I want to say is get in touch. Say to me, you know, we're doing this thing, and help me to share it for you, because I can only share what I notice, and then sometimes I forget. So if you are doing an event that fits within anything written before 1642, even a little later actually, if you're... I'm not that fast, really, as long as it's not by Shakespeare, then we will try to signal boost. And, you know, that's part of my job, and our job here is to share what you do. The other thing is to help archive it. If you're doing a production, sharing recordings of anything you do and putting it out there, we have the internet now. Sharing data is really important. And making sure that it's out there on multiple platforms rather than just creating, say, a website where it lives in its own little corner. Making sure that anything you record can go out on the kind of platforms like YouTube, or we're a podcast, we're effectively on all the podcasts because of the way things get syndicated. So any material we put out there exists wherever anyone really listens to podcasts, rather than just on our website. You can go to our website, it's quite useful. I hope it's getting more useful. It's beyondshakespeare.org. And that's where there's a route where we try to create sort of timelines so that you can, and hopefully thematic timelines as well, playlists, so that you can follow plays and playwrights and movements and ideas through multiple plays and find a way through the narrative. So if you are a producer, or you are an amateur or professional student, doesn't matter. If you are producing something and you can archive it, or you don't know how to archive it and you would like some assistance, then get in touch and try and help us get more material out there. Because the more material that is out there, even if it isn't at the highest technical quality, is better than there being none. And that's sort of the starting point. I know that exploring episodes that we do are not the most popular episodes in our feed. That's fine. Because to some degree, it's there so that any of my future actors can listen to that episode before they come into the studio to record a decent version. That is its function. And if you are doing the same, and you can put it out there, I've got to be careful using the word archive, if you can put it out there on a platform that anyone can access, then you are helping the next person, and it makes it easier to sell tickets for the next show. And developing an audience base that is not primarily coming to an institution because of Shakespeare, that they are coming because they want to see early drama as a thing, is important. Because there is a narrative, especially within big institutions, that the way they sell shows is they sell Shakespeare and then some other stuff. And I want to challenge that narrative and say, well, let's just have a space where we just do the other stuff. And we don't need to mention. I know I've mentioned him several times, and this is actually almost the exception podcast, where we mention the elephant in the room. And just say, you don't need to. And there's another interesting little New Year's resolution I want to share with you, saying that we've noticed we do, and other people do, and it's just maybe we're going to try not to do this anymore. Which is, when a rarely performed play is performed, there's a tendency for us to come out and go, oh my god, I never realised how good it was. Which is to some degree a reasonable response, but it feeds into a narrative whereby you're going in assuming it's going to be crap. And most of the plays that we're talking about are commercial dramas put before an incredibly fickle and demanding commercial audience, and have then been deemed decent enough to survive via history. Now, most of the plays we've done actually have been very obscure plays that are in many ways quite elitist. We haven't done that much commercial drama. But without losing our critical faculties, I'm going to suggest as a New Year's resolution to all of us at home and to ourselves, because we're as guilty of this as everybody else, is to go in assuming that it's probably quite good and then readjust that once we've seen the play. And not almost go in feeling like the underdogs, like we need to prove anything, because these plays are mostly very good. They're not necessarily always great. They may need some work in production, and that's part of my job again, is to find out what the party quirks of a play is, so that you can give it its best performance, because we tend to forget all the lessons that have been learnt when plays are only ever performed every 10 years or so, or 20 years, or never. And I can think off the top of my head of a few productions recently which may have suffered from that lack of performance history being adequately shared. So that's just a little thing to think about. I'm going to get in terrible trouble. People are going to take that much more. They're going to, yeah, you might take that to be more of an affront than I intend it to. But it's just a little thinking thing about the narrative and how we get into our own patterns of thought about the plays that we love. As I hope you're here because you love early drama and find it fascinating and good. So the final thing I'm going to talk about, the penultimate thing, but the last big thing I'm going to talk about, is the play A Game at Chess. We are about to embark on the first exploring sessions for A Game at Chess. I have already done some preliminary work. I've actually spent the last better part of 8 months doing preliminary work on A Game at Chess. I have read the entire play character by character, and that's an exercise I'm going to ask you to follow me with. And I've come to a startling conclusion about A Game at Chess. A Game at Chess is about a chess game. I really don't actually know that there's really much more to say. It is an astoundingly good play. It's not an unproblematic play. I can understand why it doesn't get performed for a number of reasons. One, it requires a large cast that you can't double down very well. Very few doubleable parts in the play. So you do need 16 or so, 20 people to make it happen without really changing it. But I think one of the other problems is we do keep talking about, and many of the introductions to the play I've seen, or always talking about the Spanish match and the historical context of its first performance, rather than is the play any good. And so for the next year, we are going to do a ridiculous amount of work on A Game at Chess. I have recorded myself reading through every part and coming to various conclusions. We are about to do exploring sessions with a group of people. And I'm also going to invite you to react to it as well. And this is something I'm calling the Cue Script Challenge. So if you have a microphone at home and you would like to give us some of your time and your talent, either for critical thinking or for performance, you don't need to be a good performer to do this. What I'd like you to do to help us and to help everyone who comes further down the line is we will send you, get in touch with us, send us an email at admin@beyondshakespeare.org, and we will send you a cue script of a part. And what we want you to do is to read through the dialogue that you have and comment on what you think your character is like, what you think is going on, whether you think the part's any good, whether you don't, anything literally that comes into your head. It's almost as more important for us to hear what you think of that dialogue and that character, and for that matter, other characters you may interact with, than it is for you to give a good reading. If you are an actor, this is a way for you to say hello to us. These recordings will all get edited together, not as a performance. It's not going to be our final audio production. We're going to package all the audio that you give us into an exploring session episode, or a number of exploring sessions in the future. Because I'm very aware that my opinions and the opinions that I may push my groups towards are not necessarily right. In fact, they frequently aren't. I am renowned for herring down a wrong alley at great pace. And everyone else going, maybe you just didn't read that word properly. And then I quietly backtrack and then delete it from the final register. A record that goes out. So I want to find multiplicity. I want to hear different voices. And again, the recording needs to be clear. But it doesn't have to be perfect. So you could record something on your phone. If you don't have a lot of time, there are plenty of very short parts. I say plenty of very short parts. There are a few. They're really good. the porn scene in Game at Chess and porn in its modern meaning with an O. Is very good. I can heartily recommend it, though it's not safe for work. So your feedback and your interest and your engagement with the text is what I'm interested in. So all you need to do is email us, admin@beyondshakespeare.org. We will then get in touch with a few questions about where you want to go, how long do you want. If you want a lot of text and you're happy to sit down and spend a couple of hours, or if you just want a little bit of text and just dip your toe in, we try to make sure that we use as much material as possible. But if there's anything that doesn't come across, sometimes people say things and it doesn't sound good out of context, we will edit. But ultimately, your contribution is very important to the future. If you're an actor, a professional actor, I say this isn't an audition, this isn't a process whereby your wonderful performance is being used to produce a final product, but it is a way of saying hello to us that we might be able to, as and when we have more money, hire your services in the future, which is a sort of hope that I would like. At the moment, we're still effectively a hobbyist group pulling together material, and we aim to be a professional company further down the line. But at the moment, this is still very much, even though many of us are professionals, this is very much something we're doing in our own time. So, what's the end game? Because, of course, you sending us all that material, why would you do that? Well, the aim is this year we're just going to be collecting material on A Game at Chess. We're going to focus on character, on how the play functions. And then next year, we obviously move towards a full cast audio adaptation, because that's what we do. And we might then start looking into some of the backgrounds of the play and some of the details around it. And then hopefully by then we will have stepped up and become a fully-fledged professional company, which is the aim. And so I'm going to present to you the five-year plan. The Great Leap Forward. No, I won't go there. So the idea is to spend the next 2 years or so producing material, finding out how the play ticks, and building an audience for it, as well as building structural ability to be able to put together a large cast play, start looking for funding. And the aim will be that we will have a production in existence in time for the anniversary of its performance when it was performed in 1624. So we have 5 years to say we are going to put on A Game at Chess, and we will need your help to make it happen. So if you're interested in helping A Game at Chess happen, it's quite a long timeline. We may get it produced before 2024, but we might not, and it might be an uphill struggle, because it's not just about building up knowledge and understanding and a cast, and also knowledge about previous readings and looks at the play, because there are other groups that have done similar. But it's also to build an audience about a play which is dynamic and exciting and interesting enough. Again, not unproblematic. There are a few trigger warnings we will pass out to any potential readers about some of the dramatic qualities of the work. But building up an audience so that there's enough people who want to see it. And that's part of my job, is building the audience base for these works. So that's what we're doing for the next 5 years in terms of The Game at Chess. That's a commitment which I hope will happen. You've got an outline already of what's happening over the next year. And what happens towards the end of next year, and or this year, 2020, and the years after, is of course entirely down to you. If you're a patron, if you're involved, if you're talking to us, sending us emails, complaining about things we've got wrong, putting nice reviews on iTunes, 5 stars, ones are always delightful. If you're doing that, you're helping be involved. You're part of what we do. And that's really what I want to be doing as my big New Year's resolution for 2020 onwards, is to be more responsive and more active with other people. So basically, say hello, admin@beyondshakespeare.org, or you can say hello on Twitter @beyondshakes, and we'll see what can happen and how we can go further forward. So all that remains for me to say in this very rambly New Year's podcast is I'd like to thank all my patrons, and I'm looking at the list over the last year or so. Atomic Elroy, Caroline Kraft, Christopher Hapke, Gerrit Queerly, Jill Othen, James Alexander, Mark Sabaton, P.D. Richmond, Sharon Buckler, Stephen Longstaff, and Surixriant. Those are the names that appear on screen, for pledging and being involved and helping make what we've done so far happen. We have nearly 300 episodes of the podcast out there. This year we have released, I think, 84 actual podcasts, and for our patrons who get everything early, I think we've released about 125 plus episodes to the patrons this year, much of which is material that isn't on the podcast yet, and I'm aiming that as going to be about at least 3 months ahead for some things. We're building towards that now, if not more. So if you are a patron, you get material early. You get some material that's certainly longer. Sometimes there's a bit more of an edit for the podcast, and also at the moment you're getting very much bonus content that nobody else is going to get for a while, possibly a very long while, is Tarleton Jests, as we have a little read-through of some of the short comic stories of Richard Tarleton. They're quite fun, and also quite disturbing, and occasionally quite upsetting. But they are there for our patrons. There we are. I do try and put trigger warnings on. There's one particularly unpleasant one we just stumbled across, going, oh, that's really horrid. So that's always worth a listen. So all that remains for me, having thanked my patrons, is of course thank all our contributors. We have our irregulars over the last year or so have been Richard Fawcett, Liz Cole, Mark Scanlon, Alan Scott, Maria Walker, and also to thank the cast, so I'm not even going to attempt to thank by name because there are just literally so many people have been involved. But I would like to thank all of you who have helped make this podcast almost into the thing that I want it to be. almost into a larger company, a larger group, a larger body of things, which is bigger than me, and who is basically just some bloke in a cupboard, really. And on that note, I've been Robert Crichton, your host, and you've been listening to the Beyond Shakespeare podcast. And Happy New Year!